We have a treat tonight, too. Miss Janice is baking the cake for tonight. If you ever ate her cakes, she'll be worth coming for. I can promise you that. She can flat fix the cake. You ever kill a deer, Daryl?
No, I never.
I mean, you kill one this year?
Yeah, one.
Good, just one? All righty. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look at a man that I know all of you have heard of. A man that's well known in the scriptures. A man that I think this morning all of us can identify with to a certain degree. But we're going to look in 1 Kings chapter number 17. If you found your place, let's all stand and let's read these verses in 1 Kings chapter number 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That man there knew God. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according at the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. That's what he told was going to happen. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. By the way, that was 3 years. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, that mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore. That means severe, by the way. And there was no breath left in him. That means he died. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he saith unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him into the loft where he abode and lay upon him his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, Hast thou also brought evil upon the widow which I have sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chambers into the house and delivered him unto his mother. I would have put the word happy mama right there. Amen. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman saith unto Elijah, Now, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let's pray. Father, God, this morning there's no doubt here in this little church someone, Lord, that needs to hear from chapter 17 of 1 Kings. God, these words are an encouragement. Even though that does not appear, Lord, and today that we understand all the problems that were going on, we know, God, that, Lord, through everything, no matter what we have today, Lord, we have a God that hears, we have a God that knows, and we have a God that can fulfill every need that we have today. And I pray, Lord, right now, Lord, that, God, you'll meet the needs of this little church. Father God, I know, God, you have blessed, but I know, Father God, that you have the purpose and reason for us to be here. And Lord, may we be about the reason that we're here. Guide today in the message, Lord. Lead today in the message, Father. And may the word of God today, Lord God, be heeded and understood clearly. And Father, we love you. God, we're going to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've always loved this story, amen. I've always loved it. You know, there's a common theme. I think all of us have. There's a common element that all of us have. There's a common thing that all the people of the world have. And the thing of it is, listen, every one of us have something in common. Do you know what that is? We all have needs. We all, amen. Raise your hand. You got needs, amen. I guarantee you do. There's not a person in here. Every one of us, whether time we like it or not, our lives, we experience through this life some type of need. Sometimes the needs are material. By the way, we spend most of our time counting our material needs. Many times we got to have this and we got to have that. Sometimes they're emotional needs. Emotional needs that we have, and they can be just as big a problem. Sometimes they are physical needs. Sometimes our health is not what it should be, and sometimes we have a tremendous need there. Other times it's a spiritual need. There's a need in our life, folks. Listen, when we need to know that God is with us and that He loves us and that He cares for us. But what are we to do when these things arise? What are we to do when, you know, when we have needs? You know, the answer is pretty simple. Hold your place. I want to show you a verse in Mark chapter number 11. Turn back to Mark. The Lord said it so truthfully, and the Word of God is truth if we just read it. But in Mark chapter number 11, and verse number 22, Mark 11, in verse number 22, I'll just take this one verse. I had several, but in Mark 11 and verse 22, look what the Lord said in this one verse. They just got through complaining about the fig tree being dried up. And then in verse 22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have what? Have faith in God. Of course, he goes on to speak there concerning there. A mountain can be removed. And he talks about the fact of having faith. But, you know, Jesus said and answered it unto them and said, have faith in God. And I, you know something today I noticed about a lot of people today, their faith is very fickle. One little thing happens in their life and they're ready to quit God. One little thing happens and they're ready to get out of church. One little thing happens and bless goodness, everything just seems to fall apart. Well, I got news for you. When your need arises, listen, all of the doubters are going to come out to encourage you. You hear what I said? When the need, it's like the guy who had four flat tires on his car, and the guy walks up there and says, man, what happened to you? You must have done something bad to have four flat tires on your car. And of course, you know, you say, well, preacher, that would be very bad. Well, I agree with you. It would be, but there's a whole lot of things worse. Because, see, the devil, anytime we get under need, we get under a place where we have needs, the devil whispers into your ear and says, can God really take care of you? You really think God can look after you? If you're not careful, you'll sit down there beside of the devil and you'll say, you know what? God ain't doing a real good job taking care of me today. I really don't like the way things are going, you know, to be honest with you. And this morning, I want to preach very simple a message entitled, can God really meet your needs? Can God really, do you really believe that? Do you this morning? Can you say amen? Do you believe that? Well, I'll tell you right now, there ain't a person in here that has not thought, well, I'm not too sure about this. I'm not too sure he can do that. Well, I want to say, first of all, number one, we've got to realize some things. Go back to 1 Kings there in chapter number 17. Our needs, and I'm going to use a big word for me. I'll give you the meaning of it, but our needs are multifaceted. Now, you say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? That means our needs are different. Our needs come from different sources. Our needs are not all the same needs. Now, we all have certain needs. We've got to have air and water. We've got to have a place to live. We've got to have clothes, amen. We've got to have certain things that we have to have. But our needs arise, folks. Listen, and sometimes, you know, where the our needs come from many times are different. And they're mentioned here. If you look at the first seven verses of chapter number 17, especially the first verse there, you'll notice in verse 1 that Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead there, said, now Ahab was in charge. Ahab could take his head off. They said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew upon a rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, and he goes on there speaking. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, Elijah was a man that we know was in God's will. Just read chapter 18 and you'll find out what kind of man Elijah really was, because he's going to call fire down from heaven. I mean, Elijah was a no-play kind of guy. And Elijah was obedient to what he was doing. I think sometimes in churches, and I've seen people since I've been in this little church as your pastor, if something don't go like they're going, I mean, let's just face it. They'll come to me and say, "Preacher, I'm tithing. I'm attending church faithfully. I mean, I'm singing specials in the church. I mean, preacher, I mean, listen, I'm reading my Bible, pastor. I mean, I'm doing all these things. And you know what happens? I'm doing this." And they go, but guess what, preacher? Why is all these things happening to me? Why is all this going down the pipe?" Well, I love John 16:33. The Lord said that in this world you shall have tribulation. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. It doesn't end there. You know, when people get to you know, we fail to forget something about this. Elijah was living right and doing right, but I got news for you. It didn't go exactly like we had planned for it to be, even for Elijah. And I'm afraid sometime we got people believing today. Listen, the truth is, you know, you think about your salvation just for a minute. That once they get saved, some of y'all believe this until you've been saved a while. Once you get saved, everything's going to be a bed of roses. You ever heard that old saying? Everything's just going to be crystal. Everything's just going to be beautiful. We're just going to be walking down the streets of gold down here in this world, and no problems are going to come. Listen, my dear friend, that is a lie. The Bible never has said that, never would. You can put that on Facebook, and it can say, hey, type amen, type share, type whatever you want to. And if you do this, God's going to give you $1 million. If you believe that mess, go ahead and believe it. It's a bunch of junk. And that's all it is. It's not found in God's word. The truth of the matter is, Job told us in Job 14:1, man's days are few and full of what? Trouble, amen? And you know what? Instead of standing around and our mouths just gapped open wide thinking, what in the world should we do? Turn over to 1 Peter. I want you to look at this verse. This is one you ought to underline in your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter number 4. I want you to look at this verse. Hang on to this verse. When times gets hard, in 1 Peter chapter number 4, look in verse number 12. 1 Peter 4 verse 12. I want you to see this verse. It says, "Beloved," that tells you who he's talking to, "think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." That means when problems come, don't say, "Well, my goodness, what's happening to me? Woe is me." But look in verse number 13. "But rejoice." Well, get a hold of that word. "But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when ye, his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy." Now, I got news for you. I can preach that, and I can read that, but when it comes down to doing that, buddy, we got a different problem altogether. You know, it's really, when problems, I don't know about y'all, but when problems come my way, I'll be the first one going, "Oh, man, why has this happened to me?" First thing I always do, say, "Oh, God, am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Lord, why is all this going on? Why did we have a problem with the asphalt people over there? Why do they want to build a plant over there? Amen. Oh, Lord, I don't understand this. Are we not doing what we're supposed to be?" You know what? The Bible says you shouldn't be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised. If you're looking for just gravy and biscuits the rest of your life, you're in the wrong place. It ain't going to happen that way. See, you know, Elijah was serving the Lord. You better understand that. Elijah was walking with God. But you see, we find out, go back to 1 Kings, we find that the situation there, and we know the situation's caused. Go back to verse number 9. You'll notice that, and I'm going to back up and go forward and backwards just a little bit here. In verse number 9, we run into the widow there. And you know what? She's in a situation because, number one, she was starting to suffer. The Bible tells us she didn't even have any what in the house. She had no food. She had no meal. She couldn't fix anything to eat. And by the way, listen to this. It was not her fault. It was the fault of Ahab and Jezebel and the children of Israel. See, God he done told them, it ain't going to rain for 3 years. Let me tell you something. We've been without rain here before for just a little while. You try 3 years without rain. You let God take the rain away from America for 3 years, and you'll see people starving to death in this country. So we don't realize that. But see, this lady, had she had done nothing. The problems were brought about by somebody else. Now, I'm going to make a free statement to you today, and this is free, won't cost you nothing. What the leaders of this nation does affect you and I. No matter how you live, no matter what you do, the leadership of this nation will bring upon the reproach of God on our people. If you don't like that, I'm sorry. I don't care whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, or whatever you call yourself. It does not matter. God's word is truth. And if you go against God's word, you're going to see things happen. Now, most people say, well, it was going to happen that way anyway. Well, tell the lady there about that. Tell her about that when the food had run out. Tell her about it when she went over to Walmart and there wasn't nothing on the shelf. But I want to tell you something. We know they're coming. We also know when you think about our salvation, you know God already done thought about this stuff. Before you and I were ever born, Brother Ricky, God knew we were going to be sinners. God had already done planned to send His only Son to die for this world. Before you and I, before our grandparents, before their grandparents, before the world began, He'd already done decided what He was going to do. So we've got to realize, first of all, that God is still in control. God is in control of that past, but God is also in control of what's going on right now. See, we look back sometimes. I like old stuff. Anybody else familiar? They call it antique. I like old stuff. I didn't used to. The new stuff doesn't. I like to go to auctions. Amen. I like to go see stuff and see old stuff. Amen. And the new stuff doesn't. I just as soon have something that's old. It's got some culture. Amen. And it ain't got all that new. Everybody wants the new. But listen, go back to chapter back in verse number six. In verse number six, Elijah learned something here. Elijah learned that, it says in verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. How many of y'all know what a raven is? We got them here. We've got ravens. They're not crows. That's them big old black birds. When we were out in California, I'd never seen them. We didn't have them in North Carolina. I don't know if they're there now or not, but Deborah had cooked a 3-pound, is she in here? She's in the nursery. She had a big old 3-pound roast. We had a picnic table sitting up on the back deck there on Base House in Edwards Air Force Base. And that roast it used to wrap paper in white paper. Remember that old white paper? It had a roast. That boy was that big around. I mean, he was about that thick, and she was going to put it in a crock pot and cook it, you know. I'm sitting there in the house, and I looked at this, and I said, that roast weighed 3 pounds. And this raven landed on top of it. Before I could get out that door, and that thing grabbed hold of that paper, and it first time it couldn't get it up. It's trying, and then it picked that 3-pound roast up, and it was so heavy the bird's wings were doing, instead of going, it was going like that, you know. And I'm running out the door, and off my roast went. Amen. We didn't eat any roast that day. But you know what? Can you imagine Elijah? The Bible says he was fed by the ravens. See, God knew that he was going to have a need. God knew that he was going to have a need for something to eat. God knew, by the way, that Elijah would be hungry. Now, I want you to think about it a minute, because all of y'all right now are hungry. I recognize that. But don't you realize that anybody know the verse Philippians 4:19? Anybody familiar with that verse? What does that verse say? All your what? According to what? According to whose riches? His riches. But do you? That's in Philippians, by the way. See, we read that verse, but what we've got to understand is a couple things. Listen to this. The Philippians were taking care of the man of God there. Did you know that? Read the entire chapter of 4. You'll find out in there that they were caring for the missionaries. They were doing things they were supposed to be doing. And they weren't just playing around. They were taking care of the needs of Paul. And God tells them, listen, I'm going to take care of you if you will do what I asked you to do. See, we just say, well, preacher, I think God ought to just bless me. Find that in the Bible anywhere. But I'll tell you something right now. God promised that He'll supply all your need according to His riches. But you better make sure, number one, that you're where you're supposed to be with the Lord before you ask God to do anything for you. See, we're a generation now that wants everything done for us without a cost to us. We want everything handed to us on a silver platter and a silver plate, and we don't want to do anything for it. I believe that God sometimes, and I know some of you won't like this, but I believe sometimes God lets us experience, He lets us get in line with His plan, and sometimes we got to recognize that we got a need. You know, I've heard people tell this, and I got to be truthful with you. I can never remember this, but I've had people actually tell me before that they had to go to the mailbox because they had nothing to eat and nothing to drink and nothing in their house, and they went to the mailbox hoping that something was coming in the mail that day so they could feed their family. I've heard people tell that story before. You know, you just say, "Woo! I don't know if I've ever done that, preacher." Well, I got to be honest with you. I don't ever remember in my house, knock on wood, I don't ever remember that we did not have food in the house of some sort. Now, I didn't say we had everything we always wanted, but I don't ever remember a time that I did not have food of some sort. It might have been peanut butter and jelly, amen, thank God. It might have been bologna, amen. It might have been fried bologna sandwich, amen, hallelujah. It might have been that. I've told this many times. Don't tell her. I told her the only thing my wife could cook when we got married was macaroni and cheese, that box stuff. It's it. You drop it in boiling water, amen. You squirt that stuff on it. You stir it up. You got it, amen. And I opened up. I remember opening up the cabinet one day, and there was 8 boxes of that stuff up there. I thought, ooh, what is that stuff? Macaroni and cheese. I don't like macaroni. She don't do it like it now. She cooks it in a crock pot now. But sometimes God has to get a hold of us in uncertain terms and tells us in Matthew 6:33. That if we seek the kingdom of God, amen? You know, so, but what do? We seek after everything else in the world but the things of God. Now, you know, one thing about it here, he knew Elijah. Can think about this. The birds come in bringing the boy food. Can you imagine? Sometimes go to McDonald's. Y'all know McDonald's. And it used to be at McDonald's. I don't think they see it a whole lot no more. I used to sit out in my car and eat and watch the birds picking up the little fries. I mean, them little old sparrows out there, man, they picking them fries up all over the place. I used to pitch them one or two out the window once in a while. Can you imagine these big old birds coming in? He's sitting there, buddy, and here they come, buddy. The Bible says that, hey, they brought them meat to eat, brought them bread to eat. And as you can you imagine something in a bird's mouth coming to you? I can only give you what God's word says, but the truth is right here. It's found in here. He supplied. He didn't only take care of yesterday's needs. He took care of his needs right then and there. The Bible says he brought it to it in the morning and he brought it to it in the evening. Buddy, that's a pretty good deal. I would love to sit down and watch that. Now, and them birds don't normally want to get next to you and I, but they did on that day. By the way, it don't stop there. Go back with me in chapter 17 again. Look in. I'm going to drop all the way down. Look in verse number 14. We had what he did for him in the past. I think I missed my point on that. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You got it? For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know what he told her? He said, God's going to take care of you down the road. God's going to take care of you in the future. God's going to look after you, little lady. He's going to look after you. By the way, the future, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I worry about our future. Sometimes I worry about the future of my grandchildren. Sometimes I worry. Well, I'm worrying. I've lived most of my life. Many of y'all have too. But my grandyoungers are just getting started. So are yours. What are they going to be left with one day? What's going to be here for them one day? Can I tell you something? Our future. Listen, Jesus said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor do what? Nor forsake you. We got some promises of God, and he knows the way that we take, according to Job 23. And he's looking out for us. And by the way, I believe this with all my heart today. If you walk with him and talk with him and live for him, I didn't say everything would be greasy, but I will promise you one thing, you will not do without. You will not starve to death. You may not have all the things that the world says you've got to have, but God's promises, his promises are good for the past, they're good for the present, and they're good for the future. Now, that's good, but I got to tell you something. Our needs come from a lot of different directions. Call it multifaceted if you like, but they come from different ways and different times and different places. Secondly, though, we've got to realize that our needs also are already on God's timetable. They're on God's timetable. I knew I messed up my page there. That's where I threw off at. When I was, we'll go back down to verse 3 and 4. When I was in the Air Force, Brother Wade, you remember this probably. We got ready for war, and the Army done this probably very similar things. You had to get all your stuff together to go to war. Now, the Air Force called them wrist kits. You remember that stuff? And the word, it was war-ready supply, something other. And it was, I can't remember exactly, but here was the thing. When you go out to the wrist kit, me and Wade were aircraft guys, and you got all the stuff you need to fly airplanes wherever they're going to send you. And it'd be these big, huge things. They rolled them up on airplanes, and you'd get out there. Anyway, you'd go to the kit, and you'd reach up there. On the outside, there was always a little bag thing. You'd pop the thing off, and you'd reach inside, and you'd pull out this long, thick document. And it was called the manifest. And it told you, you'd look in there, it would tell you exactly everything that was inside of that kit that you were going to need to go to war. And those things were double-checked and checked and made sure that everything you had was in place and everything was right. Now you say, preacher, where are you going with this? I'm going to tell you something right now. Romans 8:28 is in your Bible. You don't like it, but because it says for what? What's the Romans 8:28 say? For we know what? All things do what? We know all things. See, we know. I had someone say, "Well, I don't mean all things." Well, you talk to God about that. Right. I don't mean all things, preacher. This is something not going my way right now. Well, I got news for you. If you live long enough, something's not going to go your way. Bad news is coming to your front door. Sooner or later, it's coming there. And by the way, I don't know that Romans 8:28 is necessarily our favorite verse, but it ought to be. Because, you know, we talk about being on the manifest. You ever thought about this? God, before you and I were ever born, could walk over there to that kit with your name on it and pull out that thing and say, let me see what Lester's going to need. I'm going to take care of everything that he needs. It's all in here. Now, here's the problem. We don't have that list. But God does. God knows what you actually need today. God knows what you're going to need tomorrow. And listen, we've got to face something, folks. We've got to understand this, that even though we don't always like it, and let's just face it, sometimes you don't like it. Sometimes you don't like things the way anybody ever had something going the way you didn't like it going? Amen? You with me on that? I don't like the way this is happening to me right now. You know the word chariot there, and go with verse 3 and 4. Look at this word. get thee hence. Notice what he tells him. Get thee hence and turn the eastward and hide thyself by the, notice the word hide there, by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Let me ask you a question. The Bible tells us that it didn't rain for 3 years. Amen? That means there's no water. But God is telling him, by the way, when did God make the brook Cherith? When did he make the brook? Did he make that the day that he went? The answer is no. God made that brook years and years and years, maybe 1,000 years before. But do you realize that God knows what your needs are before you ever were born? God knew what you would need, what your needs would be. And we see, we don't look to God the way that we need to look to Him. Listen, how many of y'all are thirsty right now? Raise your hand. Yeah, a few of you are. You ever been really thirsty? You know, one of my favorite things I love growing up, we had an old well there on the place. And that well went down into rock. That well was about, I'm guessing, probably 80, 90 foot deep. That was a hand-dug well. And buddy, let me tell you something. It ain't like the wells today. It was a big well. It was a huge well. It had the old crank turn thing on it. And the rocks in there were all the way down the side. But let me tell you something about water. Man, you could crank that old bucket down in there, and you get it down to the bottom, and when you pull that water back up, buddy, and drag that thing off to the side, and, buddy, you look at that water, you could just eat it, man. You look at that water was cold in July in North Carolina because it was mountain water. It was clean because it had come through rocks, and it was nice. And by the way, do you realize that God knew that my parents were going to need that well back in the 30s? Did you know that? They knew they were going to need that, and they know what you're going to need. And what I'm trying to say is, listen today, we got to follow through with this just a little bit. Over in Isaiah 45, verse 7, he says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Do you know something? If everything, we believe everything really works together for good. We know that God did this, we know God did that, and we know that we ought to stand to reason that God has already taken care, Brother Ricky, of the steps necessary to take care of us. See, brother, y'all headed off up to Knoxville, Tennessee. I've never lived in Knoxville. I don't even know if they got running water in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm not sure what you're going to, but God does. If God is in, the Lynch is going up there, amen, he's going to take care of their needs for them to be there, amen? I believe that. There's a purpose behind it. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be all butter, beans, and collards, brother. I'm going to tell you that now. It may not be. I can't answer that. But listen, here's my point. God looked for Elijah long before Elijah looked for God. God knew that Elijah was coming that way. Now, you think about it just a minute. I mentioned this earlier. I got saved in 1977. I was born in 1954. That's a long time ago. God knew the day that I was born, and God also knew the day that I was born again. And God knew what my needs were going to be before I ever called on him. He knew me before I ever bowed my head and said, Lord, save me. God knew my needs. I've got many stories I've told, and most of you have heard all my stories, but I almost died when I was about 16 years old on a cliff in the mountains of North Carolina in a hot water plant of a lake. And we climbed up there. I know I've told this before, but people had died. They had big signs up there as you went in there, signs from Duke Power saying, this danger, warning, do not go up there, do not jump off. You know, stupid is as stupid does, and when you're 16 years old, you don't understand death. And we climbed, the jump off point was about 175 feet high. When you got up there, by the way, it didn't look like it. When you're looking up through the cliff area there, it looked like a little ledge up there with a rock sticking out, and it looked like a little river going down through there. But when you got up there on that rock, that stream looked like it was that wide, and then people looked like they were that big. And I wanted to get off of there. You could not go up any further because you was as far as you could go, and there were people coming up next who were going to jump after you. When you jumped into that water, and they had to about throw me off of there, when I came up, I was as far as from here to that road underwater before I ever came up. That's how fast that water was moving. There were rocks on both sides. We reckon an opportunity for a rock to bash you in the head, because you could actually fly through the water like this. How much the water was moving, you felt like you were flying. Going, woo! I didn't realize all it would took would have been one rock, and I'd have been out of here, gone. I'd have been in hell today. But see, God in His mercy. 1984, California, Brother Cliff. The engine plane that was on, two-engine job. Left engine, we were leaving LAX flying over the mountains. There was no returning. Left engine on the plane quit. Little fella flying the plane looked to be about 16 years old. No pimples still on his face. The left prop goes, feathers up and stops. I went, whoo. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a slight problem on number one engine. We're gonna have to abort. We'll just be safe. Just sit back. It's gonna be okay. We got number the right engine's flying fine. We banked the airplane around like this. The plane come up and straightened out. We were headed back to Los Angeles. We were 80-100 miles away, not too far. When the right engine starts going, there's only two of us on the airplane. This guy in front up there was about 6'8". How I remember him, you couldn't stand up. I mean, I'm 5'10", and you had to do like this to stand up inside of it. His whole back was up against, he was cussing. He was taking God's name in vain. He had his back up against the back of that plane, and he was, the little fellow was up there flying the plane, and he was just cussing, cussing, and cussing. I'm in the very back of that plane. I got hold of the seat in front of me. I'm saying, oh God, I don't want to die in California. I don't want to die out here. I mean, you think you talk about praying, buddy? That's a whole lot different prayer. Because that plane landed, straightened out, and the right engine was doing that, and all of a sudden the right prop goes, and now, buddy, it is a deathly silent. There's no noise whatsoever because props are loud. And now this plane is just floating like this. And you can feel your blood, the blood going to where it's not supposed to be going as that plane is sitting. Now I'm looking out the window to see where we're fixing to sit. And I'm trying to think of everybody in my family. At the time, we had two children. Amber had just been born, and Ashley was the oldest. And I was thinking, well, this is it. And I'm saying, oh God, I want to die here in California. And I looked out the window and I saw Burbank International Airport runway at Burbank, not LAX, Burbank. And he says, we're going to do an emergency landing. I thought, yeah, right. That plane landed on there, brother, right at the edge of the runway. It made the tip of the cement. Right at the tip is where it hit, it sat down, and it rolled to the end and stopped. And buddy, you ever been so weak you can't even pick up your nothing? I mean, I had no strength in my legs. I'm sitting there. I'm so weak. This little fella comes off to the plane, and he says this. He says, as soon as we figure out what's going on, we'll get underway. I thought, buddy, not with me. You won't get underway nowhere. Amen? Amen? I'm getting off this plane, and I'm not getting back on this plane. This thing's on the GROUND, amen, and I'm there. Do you know God's promises are good for tomorrow? Do you know that? See, we got to realize, listen, we got needs, all of us do. All of us do. But you better remember something. That supply list I was telling you about, God's got one, buddy. I will supply all your need according to my riches, not yours. I've got what you need. Now, it doesn't say on there Corvette. No. It doesn't say on there a brand new house in Van, Swan Lake. What's that lake over here they call it? High dollar, huh? Wind Lakes. It doesn't say Wind Lakes on there. Hey, I was telling yesterday at the funeral. I had a funeral yesterday. I was telling this one guy one day. I was reading in John chapter 14, my father's house are many mansions, you know. And this guy came up to me. It wasn't yesterday. It was a few funerals ago. He said, preacher, I got to ask you a question. He says, does that really say mansion? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm just afraid it's going to be a trailer house. He said, I'm going to be really disappointed. True story. I'm going to be really disappointed if I get to heaven and all I got is a trailer. I thought, what? Did you get to? I didn't read it in no Bible. I mean, he was looking at me like, he said, because he had another version, and it didn't say mansion, it said dwelling places, and some preacher told him, that's just like a trailer. I said, buddy, let me tell you something. You get you a King James Bible, because you make sure you're going to get the right stuff. It says mansion, amen? It ain't going to be no trailer house, amen? It's going to be a mansion, and I believe God can do that. But by the way, the same God who made this world can take care of mansions, amen? Same God that done that. And listen, Elijah understood that the manifest, the supply manifest that God has will take care of your needs, even when it looks like you don't know what to do. And by the way, if you live long enough, you're going to get to a place where the doctor is going to look at you and going to say, bad news. You've got something that's going to take your life. I don't know that we can save. I don't know. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to give you all these treatments and do all this and do all that. And you can have every preacher in this city pray for you and every preacher lay hands on you and you could still die. But my manifest at the bottom says this, paid in full. I got a place for this boy. I got a home for him. And if it's when my time comes, praise God, I'm going. Amen. And I recognize that. And it ain't going to be no trailer house. Number three, and I've got to close. This is the whole meat of my whole message is coming now. I hope you'll get excited. There's a lot two more of these needs. God's got a supply for them. But the last part is the best part because our needs, listen to this, our needs many times will hold secrets that we don't know yet what we really need to start with. If you had to sum up the word need, you could sum it up with the word faith. Look in verse number 3. Now remember, I told you Elijah had done right. Elijah had done right. But he notice what he tells Elijah after he tells the old king there, you know, it ain't going to rain. You know, the king's mad at him, by the way. You already know that. But in verse 3, God says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Elijah now, you know where God's telling him to go? He's sending him out in the wilderness. He says, get away from there. And by the way, the man of God, you know what he does? If you're a man of God, a woman of God, you obey God. Amen? Amen. Sometimes, you know what, God, we think God's plan. I've actually thought, God, are you sure this is your plan? Amen? You ever ask God that? God, are you sure about this? What a stupid question to ask God. But we're going to ask him, by the way. We're going to want to know why things ain't going. You know, the secret to getting your needs met by God, listen, is to trust him. It's just to trust him. Amen. I found out this a long time ago. If you'll surrender your will to his will, then you can trust him. You know, one thing I never liked about flying, I've never really been fearful of flying. Every plane I ever get on, I always say, God, I trust you. If it's my time to go, I'm going to leave. I go to sleep. But I'm going to tell you what I don't like about flying. I have absolutely no control of that airplane. None. I got to put, and you folks, Brother Wade has, some of these guys that say they're pilots, buddy, you don't want to ride with them. They're idiots. You know, a hat, they got names on their hat say killer, you know, Cujo or something like that. You're going, what kind of airplane pilot are you? This is Air Force guys. There's a lot of truth to that. They've always got to, especially fighter pilots. But you know something? Any of y'all ever driven on a road that's real foggy? You truck drivers have. You know, you ever been driving in such a thick fog, you can't see nothing. You're driving through the mist. You're in the middle of the mist of a life that we call this life we live. But you know what? If you're walking with the Lord, you can rest assured, listen to this, that he is taking care of you when you don't even have a clue where you're going right now. He's taking care of you. See, faith ain't what you can see, it's what you cannot see. Y'all are like me, most of you. I want to know exactly what's under me. I don't like to step off on anything that I don't trust. Amen? I want to make sure it's supposed to be. There's got to be faith to do it God's way. All righty. Look in verse number 9. I got to move. I'm almost done. Notice here, you know, you're talking about what, you know, what's God's way, preacher? You got to have faith to do it God's way. Notice he says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Now, I love this. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now, Elijah's been taken care of by a bunch of birds, amen, and been drinking water that's gone. Now, think about it. The creek's gone dry, and now he's going to some widow lady to look after him. I mean, you gotta realize that I'm thinking, Lord, I don't understand this. You know, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know why I believe God sent Elijah there? Because Ahab would never go look for some widow lady somewhere. And he knew that he would be safe there. And what did Elijah do? Elijah was obedient. See, we don't always understand this, but God's ways are not our ways. Our ways many times would look at it completely different. Now, I want to give you a couple more and we'll close. Look in verse number 13. See, our faith is to do it God's way, and our faith is in what the work of God is. Look in verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know, that verse, this lady is starving. This lady is starving. Now, I'm talking about to be obedient to the work of God, but she's hungry. She doesn't have the necessary food to feed her and her son. And now this preacher is saying, first of all, you know, look in two verses. Look in verse 13. You notice he says, go and do. You catch that? Verse 13, notice what she does. He says, go and do, and then look in verse 15, and notice what it says. And she did what? Went and did. Go and do, and she went and did. Did you catch that? Go and do, and she went and did. See, here's the average Baptist. Preacher's talking about money today. Talking about tithing. I'm going to do that. 10% of my income, is he stupid? Where did that come from? I can't believe that. Oh, we're going to do this. Preacher, can't trust you to do this. Can't trust you to do that. And then you wonder why God is not blessing you. The key is missed by a lot of people. A lot of people today don't realize that this little lady here, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. There's got to be faith in the work. There's got to be faith in God's word. Look in verse 14. For thus saith the Lord. I'll just stop right there. How do you know this, preacher? For thus saith the word of the Lord. Where did you get that at, preacher? In God's word. For thus saith the word of the Lord. That's what God said. See, we try to trust in everything and everybody but this book. I know that. We all do. You know, this woman here was in a deep valley. She was in a valley of testing. And you know what? He just says, just trust what God's word says. You ever tell somebody just to trust God's word? You ever told somebody, you know, Alicia, he's taking you off to Knoxville. You ever lived in Knoxville, Tennessee? He's taking you off to Knoxville. Man, you've been in Ammon. You've been up there in Anniston. You've been down here in Montgomery, amen. He drug you out. The army drug you over here and drug you over there, South Carolina, amen. And now you're headed to Knoxville. But you know what? If it says in here, and thus saith the word of the Lord. Thus saith God. Where are you going to trust him? You know what the problem we have? I like what Dave said in Psalm 37. You know what he says? I have been young and am now old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's what David said. Number five. There's got to be faith. And this last one is a biggie. Look with me back in verse number 17. You're talking about something that's never happened before. Y'all know the story there. You know, her after she now get a picture of this. Please listen to this. After this lady obeyed the man of God, and God come along and filled her barrel full of food and took care of all her needs. And then in verse number 17, her son falls down and dies. And now think about this a second. He dies, he's sick, and now she comes back and she says, what have I do with thee? In verse 18, O thou man of God, have thou come to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? But you know what? She goes back to that Elijah again. There had never been, as far as I can tell, if you find one, I don't see another resurrection before this one. This is the first one that I can... Nobody... See, we've heard of people being resurrected today because we know the Lord was, and there are others out there. But here's a key truth, key for us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I did a funeral yesterday. And I want you to listen. I am closing. That's the truth. Many of y'all even know, who in here can remember the Clarks, Ralph and Faye Clark? Just a very handful. They've been gone for many years. Ralph died in 2007, and Faye died last Wednesday. I had all of her grandkids out there yesterday. We were out at the cemetery. We're out there where, you know, your casket is sitting there. There's a 6-foot hole waiting. And you know what happens when, as soon as everybody leaves, they crank that bad boy down in the ground and they throw the dirt on top of you. Is that correct? Now, what do you tell these young ones that what you had? You had the second generation. One guy gave a testimony yesterday about all the cousins. All the cousins used to play around together, used to run around together, had a good time together. And now you've got the second generation of cousins. The second and third generation of cousins. and none of them, and you're out there and you're fixing to put the body of the grandmother, the great grandmother in the ground, and what do you tell them that's going to matter? The hope. The only hope. The only one that can matter. See, Elijah, she comes to Elijah and she says he's dead. You know what Elijah does? He goes in there, he talks to the Lord about it, and he gets on him there and he prays, and the young man does what? Can you imagine, you ladies who've got children, can you imagine when the Bible says he brought the boy, can you imagine the boy, he looks up at mama and says, "Mama, what's going on?" Can you imagine the first time she saw that youngin? You know, when you first see that baby the first time, it's like, you know, after you ladies have been through, I mean, completely almost death, but you see that little one, and it's just like, oh. Can you imagine when the prophet brought that little boy out again, and she looks up and he says, "Mama, I'm okay." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can I tell you something? When you get to the place there one day, and all of us will, you're going to be laying, maybe you'll be fortunate enough to be laying in your bed, and all of your family will come around you, and they'll look at you, and you can give them the last words that you will ever say to your family. Let me ask you a question. What's that going to be? I heard this said so many times. You're going to say, "You know what? I sure wish I'd made some more money. I sure wish I'd have went to work a whole lot more than I did. I wish I'd have drove more trucks. I wish I'd have arrested more people. I wish I'd have fixed more airplanes. I wish I'd have been better to the city. I wish I'd have been better to the state. I wish I'd have fixed more cars. I wish I'd have done this." No. You're going to look at your family and you're going to say, "You know, I'm fixing to leave here." Trust in Him. Amen. Your faith will take you and your faith will carry you. I love this time of the year. Now, I'm going to be at church tonight, but the Cleveland Browns. Anybody ever heard of the Cleveland Browns? The Cleveland Browns have never appeared in the Super Bowl. They've never been in a championship game. Despite that, if you ever get around people that are Cleveland Brown fans, they stick together like peanut butter, buddy. I mean, the Cleveland Browns have never been in the Super Bowl and probably ain't never going to be, but those folks are serious. But I got to tell you this about them. Because they always end up in a very disappointed year, this year being no different, they have named their stadium the Factory of Sadness. The Factory of Sadness. Can I tell you something? We live in a world right now that we could call many times the Factory of Sadness. Sometimes it just seems like that there's nothing but heartaches. Amen? Amen? Sometimes it just seems like every which way you turn, you say, "There's nothing good going on here." But I got to remind you. Go back with me to John 16. John 16. John 16. And verse number 33. I read part of this verse to you. I want to read the rest of it right now. In John 16, the very last verse, the Lord is speaking. He says in John 16, 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have" what? "Peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I was thinking about a song, what's the guy that has a big thing with all the people around singing? Gaither Vocal Van, or the Gaithers sung this song. And my voice is not good today, but the song goes like this. "Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see." You remember that song? Well, that song says it all. You know something? Sometimes we limit God. So we got to realize that our needs, they're multifaceted. They're many. They're a lot. But I want you to remember one thing. That old supply list belongs to God. It don't belong to you and I. How much can you? You say, "I'm a self-made man." Then get your own air and try breathing it without God's air. Get your own water without and try to do that. You can't do it without God, because God's supply list will take care of your needs. And by the way, you never know what God's going to do until you learn the secret of trusting in God for what your needs are. I got to be truthful with you. God has been good to this preacher. I mean, I have been blessed. Brother Billy, if I never get nothing else in this life, if I live a complete, for 61 years, I've been blessed. If I live to be, just say just for time's sake, live to be 80, and the next 19 years, nothing but hell on earth. I cannot say nothing but thank you, Lord, for all you've ever done. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. You know, Elijah was obedient. Elijah did what God told him to do. Elijah, by the way, the little lady there, what did she do? She took her meal. She made him what he needed to have. She trusted God, and God blessed that, and turns around, and her son dies. And what does God do? He takes care of that need too. You talk to these folks about what their needs are. Talk to these folks in the Scriptures. You don't never know what tomorrow's going to bring. I was talking to Charette. Charette's dad's got prostate cancer. Freddie's, if many of y'all don't know this, Freddie's given us watermelons for years and years. Years and years. Seed spitting contest. I talked to him this week. I want y'all to pray for Freddie Ray. Please pray for him. He's going to be going to the doctor, I think, next week, if I'm not mistaken. And, they're going to see if it's gone beyond the prostate. You know, and you want to say, here's what we say. We'll talk to someone and say, listen, Freddie, it's going to be all right. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's no guarantees that it's going to be all right. There's no guarantees that your life cannot end. Now, what do you do if this is all the doctors have done, all they possibly can do? You put your faith in the one who made you to start with. You put your faith and trust in the Lord. Now, here's the hard part. We can't see that. See, do you quit praying? Do you quit saying, Lord God? I told Freddie that. I told your daddy this. I'm going to tell you this again. I said, I can't promise you that God's going to heal you, but I can promise you this much, that we can pray for you. And we're going to lift you up. And you know something? If it comes down to the last moment in your life and you go, well, preacher, it doesn't look like it. It looks like I'm going to be going home. The grace of God will be there in the day that you need it. And you know, I've heard this preached many, many times. There's grace that saves, there's grace that takes care of you, and there's grace that takes you home. Amen. And by the way, you don't get it all at one time till the time comes to carry you through today. Let's every head bowed, every eye closed. And, we get a song if we could. Get a song this morning. Let me ask you today.